intent of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Cindy Fowler from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from the National Gardening Association e-newsletter, Dave's Garden e-newsletter, and the Garden Spark e-newsletter, and maybe from Jerry Baker's terrific garden tonics. And we'll start with Dave's Garden e-newsletter. A flower falls, even though we love it, and a weed grows, even though we do not love it. That was said by Dogen. Companion Planting for Beginners by Shannon McKee. Growing certain plants alongside one another can make a huge difference in your garden. Growing certain plants, there are a few things as satisfying as finally getting your garden started and seeing all the plants exactly where you want them to be. The excitement of the growing season to come is one of the very best parts of being a gardener. You may put a lot of thought into what you want to plant, where, based on factors like light and crop rotation, but another idea that you may want to consider is the concept of companion planting. What is companion planting? Companion planting is a simple concept that entails planting two or more varieties together in hopes that they will actually help each other grow. There are flowers, herbs, and vegetables out there that can reap a ton of benefits from being situated near other plants. Of course, you'll want to remember that companion planting does not work for every plant, and that there are some varieties that are best grown on their own. Benefits of companion planting. Companion planting has become extremely popular in recent years, and that's because there are quite a few different benefits to be reaped from it. Pest control is one of the biggest. Imagine putting a few particular plants in the ground and never having to deal with deer, rabbits, aphids, or moths again. Alternatively, you can use companion planting to attract beneficial insects to your garden. For instance, ladybugs and predatory wasps can be brought into your yard to protect your other plants from the pests that want to destroy your hard work. Alternatively, you can use companion planting to bring in insects that are beneficial for pollination purposes. Attracting bees and other pollinators to your vegetable garden by strategically planting a few flowers in it is a perfect way to do so. Your vegetables' flowers can probably attract pollinators on their own, but a little extra help is always a good idea. On top of all that, companion planting can also provide these little critters with homes to stay in while visiting your garden. This means they won't ever have to go far for shelter. Companion planting can also help you maximize your use of space in the garden, which means fitting more plants in the same amount of space. This concept, also called interplanting, is actually quite old, with one of its earliest forms being the Three Sisters technique, practiced by Native Americans. Some examples of maximizing space in this fashion include planting carrots underneath tomatoes and using the area under trees to plant herbs, garlic, and onions. Companion planting examples. Pairing a few easy-to-grow plants can be an excellent way to try your hand at companion planting. Marigolds can be great when planted around your major crops, mostly because they help keep away nematodes, which can harm your plant's roots. They do this by producing theophane, which itself is a natural nematode deterrent. Planting dill and tomatoes together is an excellent way to protect your tomatoes from tomato hornworms. This is because the sneaky little pests will always attack the dill, leaving your tomatoes completely unscathed. On top of that, dill can also be used to draw later bugs to your garden. Other ways to use companion planting. Don't think that you have to use companion planting as a way to format your garden, as you can also apply this methodology in other ways. For instance, container gardening often goes hand in hand with companion planting. You can create interesting and beneficial container arrangements by planting certain varieties together. In reality, you can use companion planting all around your home. For instance, planting lavender, lemongrass, and citronella around your doors and windows can be a great way to naturally repel mosquitoes. These plants are also great around foundations, ponds, and other open sources of water where mosquitoes tend to lay their eggs. They may not keep every single mosquito away, but they can still be very beneficial. Companion planting is a great way to get the most out of your garden without having to do anything extra. All you need is a chart to help you identify what plants offer what benefits to others and some time to come up with a garden plan. Follow that plan and you'll be able to get all the pest control, space maximization, and other benefits that come from companion planting. Try it out just to make your life just a little easier. And now from the Garden Smart e-newsletter, 5 Perennials That Will Love Your Clay Soil by Susan Martin of Proven Winners. Clay soil, for many, it represents a real challenge in the garden. Though there are lots of ways to improve its texture and drainage, make it easy on yourself and choose to grow plants that naturally thrive in clay soils. Here's a closer look at 5 perennials that will love your clay soil. Chantilly Lace Goat's Beard. You might think this is an astilbe at first glance, since it does have similar flowers, but this is Chantilly Lace, commonly known as Goat's Beard. It blooms before astilbe in late spring and is much more forgiving if you miss a day of watering. This is mid-sized with neatly mounded foliage, so it fits best near the middle of the flower border. Tiny pollinator insects enjoy the flowers when in bloom. Goat's beard grows well in any type of soil, from clay to sand. It does not love a ton of root competition, so planting it right at the base of a tree or ornamental grass would not be the best place. But normal competition from other perennials is just fine. Park shade is ideal, though it will easily grow and bloom in sun or shade. It's 30 to 32 inches tall and deer resistant. Stand by me, bush clematis. This extremely prolific clematis becomes covered in bright blue, nodding, bell-shaped flowers in late spring, followed by frilly white seed heads in summer. All sorts of bees delight in its pollen-filled blossoms. Rather than vining, stand by me is a bush type, so it forms an upright clump like a regular perennial. It does appreciate having some support to lean on, so be sure to surround it with other perennials, small shrubs, or a support like a peony ring to keep it nice and upright. grow this clematis in full sun to part shade in well-drained, alkaline to neutral pH soil. If your clay soil is very dense, amend it with compost or humus to improve the drainage. Clematis likes its roots to stay cool, so spread mulch at its base or shade the roots by planting other perennials close by. It grows 34 to 38 inches tall and is also deer resistant. Rainbow Rhythm Orange Smoothie Daylily. Daylilies have long been popular perennials because they are so easy to grow and become more impressive every year as they mature. Orange Smoothie has many of the most desirable traits in a daylily. Perfect flower form, a sweet fragrance, foliage that remains attractive all season, and reliable rebloom. Ruffled orange mango blossoms with a rose band sparkle in the sun atop scapes that are loaded with buds in midsummer. They bloom for several weeks then and rebloom again later in the season. Grow daylilies in full sun to light shade with average water for best flowering performance. They'll tolerate almost any soil type, including clay, and multiply from year to year. They can be divided every few years and moved around the garden to add color to all your sunny spaces. See the entire Rainbow Rhythm series. They grow up around 24 inches tall. Shadowland Waterslide Hosta. Guaranteed to be one of the most distinctive hostas in your collection, this new mid-sized variety has very distinctly rippled foliage. Its powdery blue, thick leaves hold their color well into the summer season, especially when sighted in filtered sun to full shade. An eastern exposure morning sun is ideal for this plant. Lavender flowers appear in late summer. Hostas are extremely durable plants in the landscape, surviving all the way down to zone 3. Their main predator is deer, so you may need to provide some protection if they are an issue in your garden. Hostas grow well in almost any soil, including clay, and prefer for their roots to stay moist. If you plant them under trees, you might consider laying drip irrigation or a soaker hose down under your mulch when planting. See the entire Shadowland collection. They grow around 14 inches tall by 32 inches wide. And finally, Summerific Cherry Chocolate Rose Mallow. It's a hibiscus. Rose mallow is the star of the late summer garden when its dinner plate-sized blossoms appear abundantly. It is a very large plant, growing the size of a shrub in the landscape, and bears the largest flowers of any hardy perennial. The new Cherry Chocolate forms a sizable bushy clump of dark olive green foliage with bronze highlights. Huge 8 to 9 inch flowers begin to pop open in high summer and continue into fall. Their bright white ruffled petals are accented with extensive red veining and a red eye in the center of each flower. The most important factor in growing rose mallow is water. Do not let these plants dry out. Clay soil tends to hold moisture well, and they will happily soak up any extra water you provide. They will also benefit from the nutrients of any compost or humus you mix in. Grow them in full sun for best flowering performance and foliage color. See the entire Summerific collection. They grow around 4 feet tall and are deer resistant. And now, Healing Herbs by Joan Casanova of Bonnie Plants. All right. A medical herb garden is perfect for containers and will benefit you in multiple ways. Traditionally, herbs add tasty flavoring to your favorite recipes, create a beautiful aesthetic, and some attract beneficial insects. You might not know that some herbs can also provide medicinal qualities, which treat common ailments. With a trend towards a return to a more natural way of living, medicinal herbs are growing in popularity as gardeners come to recognize the breadth of benefits herbs afford. Bonnie Plants offers approximately 40 different herb varieties ready to go at garden retailers nationwide. You may be surprised at some of the benefits herbs hold. Lavender is a popular herb to grow for many reasons. Its deep purple flowers on tall spikes and silvery gray foliage are strikingly beautiful. Its intoxicating scent and calming qualities are unique, and it's quite attractive to butterflies, bees, and even hummingbirds. You can also dry lavender for crafts or bouquets, and its edible flowers have a sweet flavor, which can be used in lemonade and baking. When lavender is steeped in tea, it can help provide a sense of calm and relaxation. Lavender tea is also known to reduce minor pain, and when applied as a poultice to cuts and bruises, it can also function as an antiseptic. Peppermint is well known as an excellent choice for soothing stomach upset and can help promote positive digestion. The refreshing taste of peppermint tea is known to soothe stress and tension and ease headaches related to both. Drinking peppermint tea can improve your overall digestive system and help improve the absorption of nutrients from the foods you eat. Sage offers a unique scent that can transform your potpourri, but a little known fact is that sage can also help soothe coughs and general throat irritation. Sage is also known to reduce the length and severity of colds and sinus congestion, sometimes preventing infection, and it's one of the best antiseptic herbs. Rosemary is known to help boost memory, concentration, and even your mood. Rosemary contains two key ingredients, rosmarinic acid and caffeic acid, that are anti-inflammatory and antioxidant agents, and it's a natural breath sweetener. Lemon balm, a member of the mint family, has a fresh, lemony scent and can help soothe anxiety and nervous tension. When steeped in tea, it can help promote positive and peaceful sleeping patterns and can help soothe and speed the healing process of cold sores. Catnip is coveted by cats, but it is loaded with plenty of healing properties for humans. 2. Catnip tea is known to be a great detoxifier for the body. It's also known for relieving headaches, especially migraines, although it drives cats crazy in a good way. To humans, it has a very relaxing effect. Catnip is also known for balancing the digestive system, provides relief from toothaches, and is a great anti-inflammatory. When spring arrives, use transplants instead of starting your own herbs from seed. They'll be ready to harvest immediately, look pretty in pots, and provide you with so many benefits that they're certainly worth growing. It is important to note that you should always check with your doctor regarding health issues of concern. And from the National Gardening Association e-newsletter, Timing the Potato Planting. Potatoes can be planted very early in the season, almost as soon as the frost is out of the ground and you're able to work the soil. Down south, planting times range from September to February. Where winters are relatively mild, you can plant a fall crop in September. In central Florida, gardeners plant potatoes in January, and in Georgia, they plant in February. The soil, not the calendar, will tell you when it's time to plant. The soil should not be so wet that it sticks together and is hard to work. Let it dry out a bit first. Like other seeds, potato seed pieces will rot if planted in ground that is too wet. Sprouting tip for earlier harvests. If you look forward to early potatoes, you can hurry the harvest along by forcing the eyes to sprout a few weeks before planting. By planting potato pieces that have already sprouted, you shorten the time it takes a plant to come out of the ground and develop the leaves that will eventually provide the energy to be stored in the potatoes. To sprout seed potatoes 2 to 3 weeks before planting, spread them out in a single layer on an enclosed porch or in a warm room where they will get some sun and where the temperature will stay near 60 degrees Fahrenheit or warmer. The potatoes will develop short green sprouts rather than the long white sprouts they produce in the dark. Because the potatoes turn green, this sprouting process is often called greening. Green potatoes are not good to eat, but when you plant them, the crop will be fine. When planting time comes, cut the potatoes as usual and plant the seed pieces without breaking the tiny sprouts. And now from Jerry Baker's terrific garden tonics, grass clippings tonic. Compost starter. Every time you add a batch of grass clippings to your compost pile, spray the pile with this mixture. Every once in a while, toss the pile with a garden fork, just like it's a big salad, to mix in lots of air and speed up the composting process. The ingredients: 1 can of regular cola, not diet, 1/2 cup of ammonia, 1/2 cup of liquid lawn food, and 1/2 cup of dishwashing liquid. Mix these ingredients in a 20-gallon hose-in sprayer and soak each new layer of grass clippings with this tonic. This will help the clippings break down more quickly, so you'll have usable compost in just a few weeks instead of months. And go for the gold. The discarded grass clippings you've been adding to the compost pile in your backyard can be called into active duty once they've broken down and become compost. This black gold is great for your lawn. Compost fortifies the soil, helps slow water evaporation, cools down soil temperatures, and suffocates weed seeds. Use it for patching bare spots or even as a yearly top dressing. For new lawns, work compost into the soil prior to seeding or sodding. Making sense. Have more grass clippings than you know what to do with? Well, never fear. They make marvelous and free mulch for trees, shrubs, flowers, and vegetables, too. Just make sure you never use contaminated clippings in your gardens. If you have applied a chemical control to your lawn, wait at least a month after each application before using any grass clippings as mulch or tossing them onto your compost pile. And for the fall, if you've moved your houseplants outdoors for the summer, it's time to think about bringing them back inside for the winter to make sure they're clean and pest-free. Treat them with my Safe and Sound Pest Spray. 1/3 cup of cooking oil, 1 teaspoon of baking soda, and 1 cup of water. Mix the oil and baking soda in a small bowl. Then, combine 2 teaspoons of this mixture with 1 cup of water in a handheld sprayer and fire away. And just like people, plants can get bored if they eat the same old thing day in and day out. So, alternate the kinds of plant foods you offer your houseplants. I use my balanced houseplant food as the basis for a regular feeding program. 1 tablespoon of instant tea granules. 1 teaspoon of 15-30-15 plant food. 1/2 teaspoon of ammonia. 1/2 teaspoon of dishwashing liquid. And 1 gallon of warm water. Mix these ingredients in a 1 gallon plastic milk jug and use the mix at full strength when you water your house plants. And be sure to label it. And here's a great idea. Want to get a head start on spring planting chores? Then prepare your seed beds in late summer or fall. Come spring, they'll be ready to sow whenever you are. Spread 1 inch or 2 of compost over the area. Then dig or till it into the top 6 to 8 inches of soil. Rake the bed smooth, removing any rocks, breaking up dirt clods, and disposing of the weeds, then you're good to go. And a terrific time saver, have more than a handful of bulbs to plant. Instead of digging dozens of individual holes, things will go quicker if you dig 1 larger hole that can hold several bulbs. If you place the soil you dig out onto a piece of plastic, it'll be easy to dump the dirt back into the hole when it comes time for refilling. We've run out of time for today's episode of Out in the Garden. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you enjoyed it. I'm Cindy Fowler, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, triangleReadingService.org. So long until the next time. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138.